Good morning, everyone. I'm Anne Bisbano. I'm the head of the middle school. I'm so thrilled to be here to welcome you all to the fantastic experience that awaits your children next year. You can see that I brought my bodyguards. This is also, and these are just some of the wonderful folks that will be interacting with your children next year. And they'll get a chance to introduce themselves and share how they interact with the middle schoolers. But we've got a lot of information for you. Virginia Evans reminded me that we're going to be recording this, and hopefully we'll be able to share that information as well. And I'll be sending you a bunch of information. So I ultimately want to stress that this is the beginning of the transition process, by no means the end. We are just kicking things off, sharing some highlights, some things that you can anticipate learning more about over the summer and in the beginning of the fifth grade year next year. So welcome. I'm going to just do that fun thing where I hop back and forth. So we're going to start by meeting the teachers. Some of them have classes later on, so we'll give you a chance to introduce many of the primary figures that will be in your child's year next year. We're also going to be sharing some developmental notes to help you prepare for that next step in your parenting journey. Parenting a middle schooler is a joy. One thing that I think I say in the slide later on, but I want to stress that there is almost, in just the people in this room, 250 years of experience teaching this age group. Just this room, and that's not including, you know, people like Nurse Webb and Ms. Fleiner that we'll stop by later on. So we love middle school. We would not have picked this age group and dedicated, you know, a quarter of a millennia to it were we not really partners in this experience with you all. And then, like I said, I'll be sharing kind of the next steps of the information. So the transition to middle school is in many ways aided by the participation of the wonderful folks that you've been interacting with for the last few years. And so Ms. Fleiner, who, like I said, will be talking a little bit about adolescence later on in the presentation, Mr. H, Ms. McCarthy, and of course Rollins, Nurse Webb, Ms. Hintz from the Learning Support Team, they are all members of the middle school faculty. And so that is really, I think, an asset to all of us, your students most of all, knowing that there are those familiar faces who have championed them, loved them, taken care of them in first through fourth grade, and now doing the same in middle school. But you will get to know a whole new group of people, and so I'd like to welcome the fifth grade advisors and the fifth and sixth grade teachers to introduce themselves. Ms. St. John cannot be here this morning. She sends her love and admiration to this wonderful group. She's looking forward to a great year with them, but I'll turn it over to the team here.
Great. I'll start. My name is Christopher Shaw. I'm the lead advisor and the drama teacher. I've been here 20 years, a big chunk of that, and which was in terms of the traditions and projects that I really think are wonderful. The eighth grade play, of course, is the end of the line for eighth graders with me, and it's my favorite project. But I always like to say that my favorite project is the one that I'm doing now. And Ms. Zimmerman and I are doing a sixth grade version of Don Quixote in Spanish and English for presentation next week. And presently, that is my favorite project. So
I'm Carla Zimmerman. I'm a middle school Spanish teacher. I've been here 26 years. Next year is my 26th year. I love teaching middle school. They're fun. They're funny. And they still love to please. And
Okay. Hi, I'm Cece Foster. I am a fifth and sixth grade science teacher. This is my second year teaching at Trinity, my eighth year teaching, but I'm also a Trinity alum, so I'm very familiar with the school, and I've had a blast being back in the middle school and teaching the kids. I'm also really excited about the coming year because my daughter is in your class, Elizabeth Foster. So this is going to be a new experience for me too. I've never done that, so I'm very excited.
Hi, I'm Lisa McGee. I'm the PE teacher. I'm lucky because I've had most of your kids since they were in pre-K, so that's a joy watching them grow up. I'm one of the coaches usually too, and the most important thing I like about middle school is it's a tricky year for kids. They're trying to figure a lot of different things out, and I'm glad I get the chance to help along the way. So it's going to be fun. And I've been here for 17 years.
I'm the total opposite end of that. This is the end of my first year here. I'm Kim Nadell, I'm fifth and sixth grade social studies, and I've spent my whole teaching career stuck in the middle Because I love this age group. They're crazy. They're still little kids who play, but they're also starting to have big ideas about the world and how everything fits together. And it's great fun. And my co-pilot in humanities.
Hi, I'm Jean Fauché. I've been here at Trinity 16 years, I think. This is the third role that I've had at the school. I've taught social studies. I've been a part of the learning support team, and now I'm teaching English, which we'll hear more about later. But yes, I mean, there's a reason why I still am teaching middle school. I love being a part of their transition, and you know, it's predictably unpredictable, which keeps me on my toes, and it's just a really exciting and fun process to be a part of, the learning, the growing, the becoming who you're going to be as a human being. So you'll hear more from us about our class in a little bit.
I'm Louise Tranton. I'm the 5th and 6th grade math teacher. And I've been here a long time. I've been 16, 17 years. I should know that, but I love it. I've been in, obviously still here because I love it so much. I've been teaching middle school for many years, and I love their eagerness to learn and their excitement when they learn something new.
Hi, I'm Grace Lehrer. I'm the 5th through 8th middle school French teacher. I would echo what Louise said. I really love this age group because they're so open to new experiences still. They're not too cool for you. They're willing to try stuff. This is the end of my second year at Trinity, and I hope I'll be here a really long time.
Hi, I'm Helen Reed. I've been here for, this is my 7th year. I am part of the fine arts faculty, so I teach fine arts to 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. For 5th and 6th grade, we really focus on the foundational aspects of the visual arts. I'll talk more about curriculum specifics in a little bit, but my favorite art project that we do is actually sitting on the shelves all around you. This is our 6th grade project, and it takes all trimester long. And I'm really proud of these kids. So the last few minutes that you're on campus, I urge you to walk around and see all the wonderful work we've done this quarter.
I'm Ray Ivanoff. I teach skills for learning and writing, which is a relatively new course that you'll hear a bit about later on. I've had a variety of engagements with Trinity. I substituted here. I actually have, at two separate occasions, been a 4th grade co-teacher. So I'm very experienced with and mindful of the transition between 4th and 5th, and it's something I really appreciate about my present role is facilitating that transition. And really couldn't have said it better than my colleagues in terms of the lovely peculiarities of this age group, right, where they are still, as was said, not too cool for school, not too cool for you, but they are also starting to become, you know, their own independent and individualized thinkers and learners, which is a really exciting time, and I really am grateful to be a part of that.
My name is Stephen Breen. I actually serve as a 7th and 8th grade math teacher. However, I will interact with your children a little bit next year. I also serve as the middle school dean, so I handle all aspects of student life, discipline, things like this. I've been at Trinity now for, next year will be my 5th year, but I've been in education for over 15 years and in multiple roles. So I will talk more about the discipline aspect of middle school later, but it's great to meet you all.
It is so great to share you know, what a fine group of colleagues that I work with, and I do want to brag on them as just being so exceptionally devoted not only to their craft but also to their students. The level of dedication and care and compassion that each one of these individuals has for every child in their care is really exceptional. I also want to brag on your students a little bit too, because I do 4th grade lunch once a week, and I always say it's the best duty I've ever had. Your students are so sweet and kind and polite, and I really enjoy getting to know them too. So I keep on saying after Mondays when I come up at 1:30, oh, you guys are going to love them. You're going to love them. So thank you so much for what a wonderful introduction we've had. So one of the primary differences between the lower and the middle school is the departmentalization. There is a really important book in the educational community that is coming out with a reprint next week. But you know, I checked in with a colleague and they said it's basically going to say all the same things. But the primary thing that
marks a master teacher is the understanding of content. And so we do move to content specialists in the fifth grade. And if these are people that can anticipate the mistakes that your child is going to make and teach them how to work around that before they make the mistake. So this departmentalization is a really important part of your child's growth as a middle schooler. We also couple that kind of reach and stretch that the middle school brings with a sense of familiarity. Primarily, our teaching is divided into two teams. So we look at the fifth and sixth grade years as one set of teachers. So they'll have the same humanities teachers, the same Spanish teacher, the same French teacher for fifth and sixth grade. Then in seventh and eighth grade, they get a new set of teachers. So the fifth grade provides this really great stretch for your children that they are going to be supported in and pushed in, and they'll grow in that. They'll have the same set of teachers for sixth grade as well. And we love that. So we really know your kids by the end of first trimester and first fifth grade, and we just continue that learning in sixth grade. As I said, these are all master teachers in their discipline. And the research really shows that that is very, very important in terms of the craft of teaching. So also that your students are going to be moving around a lot more next year. They'll be in one room for math, then they'll go to another room for science. They do travel independently. That is part of the increased independence that we provide to the middle schoolers. And that is a great way to kind of counterbalance the fidgetiness that a middle schooler can have too as they move around. All of these teachers have very, very healthy and realistic expectations for the attention span of a middle schooler. And within these periods, there are opportunities for movement and brain breaks, and I really do want to emphasize that. Also, a part of middle school, high school, college is getting to know and work with different types of teachers. And while we are aligned in our expectations, it's a really good opportunity for your child to get to know different types of teachers too. I think, we can all remember that one teacher who had that really strict rule about always having the pencil as they walked in. If you didn't have a pencil, that was going to be a tough class for you. So these are just examples of how the middle school really is preparing your child not only to have a great experience in fifth grade, but for the rest of their academic and professional career. Do you mind advancing the slide? Consider the core subjects. So those are the ones that meet five times a week and have nightly practice and preparation and tests and quizzes and things of that nature to be the subjects listed on this slide, which are English and social studies. Ms. Fauché and Ms. Nadel will speak about that because the way that we approach that subject is really both a prized part of the Trinity Middle School, but also a very unique opportunity. Skills for learning and writing, which is the course that Mr. Evanoff talked about and he'll share more about, math, science, and foreign language. So foreign language is a choice that we provide to the families at the end of fourth grade, and I'll share more about that process, and students either pick between French or Spanish. And that is the subject that your child will travel with for the remainder of their middle school experience. A certain body of knowledge is accumulated every year, and you can imagine that jumping around would put your child at a little bit of a disadvantage. So we do have a very deliberate choice to make foreign language a core subject. Some schools, it's a class that just meets a couple times a week. They do songs and dancing, and then they kind of leave it at that. We really are providing an opportunity for students to become fluent speakers and writers and comprehenders of another language here. And the neurological benefits of that are really well documented. And it's something that really drew me to Trinity because it's very much aligned with my educational philosophy as well. A little bit more about the core subjects. Math and science are, students experience those classes in group sizes of 17 to 18. Let me turn it over to Ms. Lara and Mrs. Zimmerman, who are going to talk about what they offer in their language classes, and as well as what the choice is.
Yeah, so just to build on what Anne has said, this is a core subject. So instead of just being like an exploratory class or a class where you can build understanding of culture or some of the key phrases, now we meet with the students in middle school as often as they meet with their math or science teachers, for example. And we really try to make it as engaging for the kids as possible and immerse them in the language using methods that make their learning more natural for them to acquire. So definitely speaking a lot in the target language, they will be expected to do that, you know, in a way that's appropriate for them little by little. We do lots of reading and stories, which help them to listen and then be able to speak. And a big component of our program is the different like projects, which have become like these important milestones in the middle school program. So especially us collaborating with the humanities for Global Citizenship Day, that's really something that we're really proud of, both in sixth and eighth grade. And then we have a number of projects in eighth grade, which are sort of like culminating for their career, such as the artist project, if you've ever seen the paintings or sculptures that the eighth grade does. So we really try to make it something that they can feel excited about every day. And we encourage them to build up their study skills by just like chunking little by little every day so that they can maintain the language instead of becoming overwhelmed by the vocabulary.
Yeah, we do a lot of singing and dancing too. We do a lot of acting. We do a lot of TPR, which is learning through gestures. Our kids, when they go to high school, they play in French too and Spanish too. You can't go wrong with either language. Every year we take the national Spanish exam and the national French exam, and our kids do exceptionally well.
They will even rank in the state and nationally compared to other students. We've had many of them in the top 10.
And Ben Franklin doesn't even test them. They come from Trinity, they put immediately in French too or Spanish too.
Yeah.
Honors. So that's pretty good. So we have lots of fun, but we learn a lot too.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. As we said, we are the humanities team. So this is English and social studies. So on the report card, there will still be a separate English grade and a separate social studies grade, but our teaching is done in one big room. We have a wall that is up most of the time, and so it's the full grade level learning together. It's probably one of their biggest experiential changes with learning rather than being in the smaller reading groups, which has laid a really strong foundation for them. We transition into teaching and learning together, and it's a 90-minute block. So instead of a separate 45-minute class, we are there together for 90 minutes, which can sound overwhelming at first, but we do go gently into fifth grade. We do a lot of entering the classroom reading silently, good chunk of time, just learning how kids are developing their reading habits, maintaining their reading habits from lower school, or if they need support in identifying books that are good fits for them. And so we'll do a lot of that 10, 15 minutes at the beginning of class. And then my side of it is novels and poetry and writing about those things. So we're really carrying on the work of just studying literature, learning how to understand the structure of a novel, how an author makes their decisions, and then writing about them, those things like, you know, in the form of a paragraph or whatever. So I also am kind of compulsive about art projects, and anytime I can come up with something where a child can visually or, you know, with their hands communicate something that they're excited about in a book, we try to get that in as well. And then thematically, our goal is to find novels that then dovetail and overlap with the content of social studies. So we are making a couple of changes to our book list, which has been kind of set for a good long time, but we're making a few changes just to enhance those connections, freshen up. You know, sometimes once a book is in circulation for a while, kids have read it before they get to fifth grade, so we're trying to kind of shift gears a little bit to bring some freshness and excitement and start the year with just some really clear connections between our classes. So what Kim and I do on the daily basis is before the kids come to our class, we're talking, we're making last minute changes. After they leave, we reflect, we try to decide, you know, what are we doing tomorrow? Does it fit where the kids are? Did they do the things that we thought they could do? And so we're very, very active in adjusting the course to meet the needs of the kids, while also keeping to the standards and goals that we have, you know, set from the beginning. So it's a pretty collaborative, I would say integrative, and fun way to do teaching.
It's great that the social studies curriculum is sort of the shift from humans being nomadic to civilizations.
example, how technology can change somebody's life. So there's a lot of thematic connections between the novels and the content. We also get a sense of our world and how do you use your environment, how do you change it, how do you work with it. And so it's fifth grade is a lot of fun for setting a lot of things in place so that as they go through the whole middle school program, they're really ready to think about global citizenship and what it means to be a member of our whole world community and work together. And what's your role and your obligation to each other.
Yep, and wherever possible, we do connect with our foreign language department to find ways to cross those boundaries between classes. And Mr. Ebanoff in our Skills for Learning and Writing is a partner with us across the hall. So if we're noticing that, you know, a group of students or the group as a whole has some skills that they need to work on more particularly, we can coordinate with Ray and he'll say, you know what, yeah, that sounds good. I'll pick that up for a couple of days and then we'll, you know, we kind of get back together. So like I said, there's a lot of collaboration, responsiveness to the where the group is as a whole, and then individually, you know, how do we then meet the different kids and differentiate our instruction? So it's a very dynamic year. We did have the fourth grade come up and visit us as a whole grade level last week, the week before, just to kind of let them see the room for the first time. And we got a really, like as Anne was saying, just a really positive, sweet, excited energy coming from them. So we're getting ready to have a great kickoff to fifth grade.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. And speaking of fifth grade, I think, are we good for a little while or do we need to go?
I think we should move. We'll,
I was going to say, do we need, I think we have Julie and Anna up there.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to maybe sneak out.
And now I'd like to invite Helen Reed up here to talk a little bit more about electives, because we are really proud to offer an amazing and robust and the most enriched arts program I've ever, at a school I've ever worked at.
Thank you. A really big source of pride for Trinity and all of us working in the fine arts program is that we're all actually working artists out in the community. We all have our specialties. Annie is a really big painter. Elizabeth is diving headfirst into printmaking, and she's also trained in painting. Chris is a performer, works consistently with JPass. I'm a photographer by trade, so I'm constantly working out in the community with my photography, and I teach adults at the Academy of Fine Arts. So we're all very immersed in our craft, and we love to extend that to our students. It brings us a lot of joy to see the middle schoolers as they start to blossom and show their actual interest in their chosen art form. So we like to allow them to explore as many different media as they possibly can. So in fifth and sixth grade, they get visual arts, music, and drama. And we also pair that with religious studies in the rotation. So we're on a trimester basis. We end up splitting the homeroom. So our class sizes are usually about 9 students. So we like to keep that small so we get that really intimate instruction and we get that hands-on learning. And it just facilitates the conversations around art that fosters that growth and appreciation. So once we get past fifth grade, we move to a choice-based elective system. And these offerings differ sometimes based on what we are into, what we're wanting to teach, which we're really blessed to have that opportunity. So some of the options available, photography, soft sculpture, first aid, choir, religious studies is required. We've done a collage class, ceramics, yearbook, hand bells. Stained glass was offered this year. There was glass everywhere. let's see. Digital design, that's a big one too that we're moving into. So the possibilities are endless. And when the kids even make a suggestion like, oh, we want to do ceramics, we want to throw on the wheel. All right, let's do it. Let's do a class next quarter. So we're really proactive in listening to their interests and being able to give them what they're looking for. Okay, so fifth and sixth graders, like I said, we teach by homerooms and we split them in half. So as far as the teaching is concerned, it's myself, Annie Warren Dean, and Elizabeth Payton. We kind of work together and rotate off. this year it's been myself and Elizabeth Payton for fifth and sixth grade. Religious studies meets one day a week throughout the year, so we end up seeing them in our class 4 days a week for 50-minute classes. So we get a lot done. We have a lot of fun in art, and we do a lot of projects. We have presentation opportunities. We do gallery walks. We make them do artist statements and talk about their work and learn to analyze different works from different artists, not only to understand how to communicate visually, but also to get them to think in a different way and how to tell stories and how to communicate deeper ideas about themselves and the world. I don't give homework. We don't give homework. But if someone says, Miss Reed, can I take this camera home and take pictures over the weekend? I never say no. And then sometimes we might ask them to come outside of class to finish something, but we never ever send it home. And then seventh and eighth grade, they opt into electives. For the eighth grade, part of that is the play. And then, Mr. Shaw, do you want to speak a little bit about your drama program real quick? Or do you know? Okay.
Yeah, no, okay. Time, that's it.
And then I just want to, on behalf of Ms. St. John, fifth grade music, they learn how to read music. And they do the chimes. So if you were here yesterday for the concert, they were incredible. And each trimester culminates in a concert. We do a winter and a spring concert. And then in sixth grade music, they move up to the bells. So they're continuing their musical exploration, and they begin more complex arrangements. And then also in middle school, the kids have the opportunity to join the honor choir with Miss St. John. They meet once a week on Wednesdays, and that is a year-long commitment. So fifth graders are more than welcome to start to do that next year. And I think that's it.
Athletics. Okay, well, I happen to know all your athletes, and we're very excited for the possibilities that we have coming up to win some championships. As you can see, we offer just about any sport that you want to, your child would want to play. The girls can play flag football if they would like. Unfortunately, the boys can't play volleyball during the season with the girls, but we do offer that at the end. So anything that we offer, if we have enough kids, we will make teams for it. Okay, and I could read off that, but y'all can see all the different ones we play. The most important thing is that we have a no-cut policy. So if your child is interested in playing sports in a win-at-all-cost attitude, it's a good thing for them to do. It's not mandatory that they play a sport, but we probably have 95% participation throughout all the different seasons of kids playing sports. We do practice during school, the games are after school. So it kind of, you don't have to worry about giving up so much of your time. I know, if you have other commitments, pianos and things like that. So that happens. If your child elects not to play a sport, they will be incorporated into the class to do workouts and playing volleyball as a group or playing flag football per se, or maybe basketball during that season. But anything, if your child wants to play, we are happy to have them. And they do get to play a lot. It's not like we're trying to, like I said, win at all costs. But in saying that, we still have our share of winning championships. Yes. You can move to this. I think I got all. We will have a separate meeting, if you're interested, where we'll go over things about playing time and how that happens and how it progresses through. Obviously, when they're younger, we do make sure that they're all, finding some success. And as they get older in seventh and eighth grade, then it becomes more the quarterback's not going to lead the game so much. He might get to play a little bit more than, somebody else at that time. But that waits to more or less when they get to seventh and eighth grade. I think I kind of got it all there. And like I said, I know all your students, and they're very, very hyped about getting their chances to play. They've been waiting for that for a while. If you have any questions, I'm always around.
So we have a lovely advisory program at the school, which is built on making independent, compassionate, and organized students that move from fifth grade through eighth grade. As they move through each of these classes, they take on a little more responsibility. And fifth grade advisory is really about teaching them all of the responsibilities that move you into the next phase of your Trinity career, so that by the time you get to eighth grade, you're working independently, separately, you're organized. And it's one of the things I would say about our school is that when they leave here and they move someplace else, they are so organized and so self-motivated, and the seed of that starts with advisory in fifth grade. What we do is that we have, as you met everybody who was advisors, we have people who are the go-to source for your child, for problems, for homeroom in the morning, for you to call. Of course, if you have academic issues, you'll go to the teacher specifically, but your advisor is there to steer you through the process. So from 7:50 to 8:05, we have meetings in the morning. So our homeroom is basically advisors. All right, so your child will come in, they will come and get themselves set up, and then they'll come to their advisor, and then we'll talk about what the day is going to be like, get them settled in, and hopefully create a relationship with them where we learn how we can support them throughout the day, or things that might be bothering them, just a way that we can support them. We are their mentors, all right? And again, we're here for support for you as well as for them. So if you see something going on and you need to contact one of us, you certainly can. Always Ms. Bisbano in the mix of that. We talk about academic and social discussions, and we do this during the week in two 20-minute classes, one on Monday, which is called Academic Advisory. This is for organization. We insist on them working from a physical binder, writing down their schedule. They take the binder, they check their athletic and their academic schedules, and they write those things in the binders. Now, they're going to complain to you that it's out there digitally, but we want them to write it down because it's proven that writing it down imprints it in their mind. So during that time, we're going to sit down, we're going to look at their lockers, because we're going to insist that their lockers are organized as well. They are set and color-coded so they can find the information that they need for their classes, so they can independently move from class to class knowing exactly where things are in their lockers. All right? They'll be doing student-led conferences, which are one of my favorite things, which means that we'll take your child and we'll do a reflection process for them to sit down and talk about what their trimester was like. Then we'll set up a conference with you, and they will run the conference. They will tell you their observations, where they failed, what they can do to improve. And they'll have a moment to talk with you about it with their advisor or mentor next to you, to give them confidence and bolster them to ask you questions about how they can improve. We do a lot of fun things as well. And they're usually related to what's going on. For example, we'll make hearts during Valentine's Day week. This is Teacher Appreciation Week. So this week in advisory, we wrote notes to the teachers that we like the best. So we kind of form what we're going to do where that's concerned. And we play a lot of games as well. We do surveys. Like each group will make sandwiches for Mobile Loaves and Fishes. We'll do community projects as well. Again, your advisor should go to person, and they'll contact you at the beginning of the year to tell you, hi, I'm Chris. Please call me or email me if you need anything. Certainly everything will go with Anne too, and together we'll try to make this the smoothest transition for you and the best experience for your child. Again, homeroom is advisory. Our advisories are co-ed, which I think is an amazing change that happened in the last year. And their groups are usually 6 to 8 kids. So we get to sit down and learn about each other working in a co-ed environment. So that's basically advisory in a nutshell. The Monday, again, is academic, and it's about organizational process. Then Tuesday is about character. We want them to be organized. We want them to be compassionate. And we want them to feel confident about their place in school and about moving through it freely. Fifth grade is a little bit about holding their hands, giving them the information so that when they move to sixth and seventh, we take a little bit of that away from them and they move a little bit more on their own. And we're here to support them with that. All right, did I cover everything, Ms. Bisbano? Okay, you go on to the next one. All right, so they get their own lockers. They have to be organized, no trash in those. Everything's color-coded. We'll show you at the beginning of the year what they look like on Mondays. We make sure they go to the locker, and we mentor with them and say, what should this look like? How can we clean this? How can we organize this so this is good for you? They will be moving through their schedule this year on their own. So they're going to get a schedule. First couple of weeks, we're going to say, okay, you're supposed to be going here. Your schedule's in your locker. You need to think about where you're going and what room you're going to, and they handle it on their own. And we're there to make sure they get to the right place where that's concerned. They also have to manage materials. It's up to them to make sure they have what they need in their classes, and they take a couple classes worth of materials in the morning to their first class. They move through, then they get a little bit of a break, then they get their other materials and they move on from there. But they take responsibility for this. Hopefully by the end of the year, in fifth grade, they'll be moving all on their own, and they'll be self-sufficient to an extent. All right, increased focus on organizational and study skills. That planner, I can't emphasize it enough. And again, your kids are going to come to you and say, why do I have to put it here when it's on the schedule on Google Classroom? It's really important that this hand, that mind, and that planner meet, and it's written out. And it's really a responsibility that we need you to help them with. Because they're going to fight us on it initially. It's a new thing for them. But it is so important to their success here in school. All right? Increase focus on self-advocacy. We are here for them to come to us to tell us if there's something wrong. We are here as advisors for them to come and tell us how they feel about things, how we can fix things. And we want to be a partner with you in that. If they come home to you and say something's going on, and you can contact us and we can triangulate that problem with them and hopefully make it a successful situation for them. They will get laptops about a month into school. These laptops travel with them through their entire Trinity Middle School career. We want them to handle them responsibly. And we're going to outline how that works for you later on, but know that they're expected to learn how to handle these things responsibly. And as it says right here, internet integrity, which you all know what I mean, and today, that's so important. You know, when does your child turn it off? We often have fifth grade teachers write us and say, how do I get my child off this? How do I steer them into this? Because it's new and it's fascinating for them. And we're a partner with you in that, so don't feel like you can't reach out for us. Overall, greater responsibility and independence is essential for us, plus building kids who are compassionate to others and who feel comfortable working independently in this environment. And we're hopefully going to create really great and successful upstanders in your children as they move through our classes. Thank you.
So as was introduced previously, I'm Ray Evanoff, and I teach skills for learning and writing. I want to talk a bit more about my class specifically, what we do and the role that it plays, or I'm trying to have it play in the middle school, and then speak a bit more generally about some of the broader skills that, you know, have been touched on by Chris and some of the others along the way. So this is, in many respects, as it says in your handout, a hybrid course, right? So we're drawing upon what would traditionally be considered like a language, writing, or grammar class, right? Do a lot of study of what makes a good sentence, right? Trying to improve their vocabulary, their sentence structure, but also their, actually going into something that Helen said earlier, their ability to analyze, right? I don't want them to, as I've said to them in the past, birdwatch, like go through and say, this is a noun, and this is a verb. But really thinking about the complexities and nuances of language, they have a pretty good foundation of the basics coming from fourth grade. So we try to push them a bit more in terms of looking at what they write, why they write, pulling it apart and putting it back together in new, interesting, and complicated ways. Beyond that, one of the roles that the class plays is sort of an overflow or a pressure release valve from some of the other courses. So for example, as Jean alluded to earlier, if there's a writing assignment that they all do and Jean gets the work back and she's looking at it and she notices, you know, they could use another round of, right? She has to move on in her class, or maybe she just feels like they would benefit from an alternative perspective. So I will take that work and we'll go through as a group and we'll revise it. We'll break steps down, possible strategies, both individually and collectively. And that gives them an opportunity to not just do an assignment and get one-dimensional feedback, right? Be able to respond to that and grow into that, right? Which is, again, an active way in which we cultivate these skills over time. Another skill that we really focus on that is really interesting and rewarding for me personally, and I think really benefits the students, and it's really amazing. So this is the first year this particular course has been taught at Trinity. And so at this point in the year, it's been really amazing to see the payoff of reflection skills, right? So that's about as broad and dynamic as the name may imply, right? It's really about getting them to think about their own learning process, their own particular skills or proclivities, right, or experiences. If something is tough for you, why is it tough for you, right? Really breaking that down. And we do that in a lot of fun and interesting ways. I may put on a really interesting music video, and we may start with what you notice, right? One of the fundamental exercises that actually was what John and Kib did with your children when they visited their class most recently is see, think, wonder, right? Looking at a picture, a video, etc. What do you see, right? What do you notice, right? And some of them instantly will already start interpreting, right? It's like, well, these are actually different steps, right? So let's first look at just what you literally see, and then let's start writing down what you think about it, and then, well, what questions do you have, right? So again, these are just some exercises that we undertake in a lot of fun, interesting, and varied ways to get them really engaging, pulling apart and strengthening different aspects of their learning and thinking process, which is really great. In addition to that, practical support. So one of the first things that we do, and they get this from other places as well, but our particular class is an opportunity to really reinforce this, is how do we use Google Classroom? How do we use Google Drive? How do you change font size, right? How do you share? Like, these very basic computer skills that we take for granted that, again, they're already getting in a lot of different spaces, but our class is an opportunity to really reinforce these. Right? We can go on to the next slide. And so coming out of this, right, is a real consideration of an engagement with these broader skills that, again, you're going to hear over and over and over again in meetings, in emails, right? You are familiar with a lot of these from fourth grade. I know the learning support team. I worked closely with Casey Stackel last year, and she's been a really amazing resource who I've been meeting with to give me a real sense of your students, both individually and as a group. But these executive functioning skills, right? So I have a pretty interesting and varied background, and one of the things that I've done is taught at universities, and something about that experience that has really compelled me to shift gears and work in a middle school environment is seeing an 18, 19, 20-year-old who's come to you, and they really haven't, for example, developed the ability to self-advocate, right? They really don't know how to communicate with a teacher, hey, I'm struggling with this, right, whether it's logistical or intellectual or whatever the case may be. And if they don't have those skills as a 20-year-old, you know, in the context of a college, it's very hard as a teacher to really support that, right? The pace is pre-dictated. We have very limited time as a group, let alone individually. And so there's little that I can do to help, right? So the really amazing and interesting thing about this opportunity is teaching them to, well, how do you communicate with the teacher, right? If something is hard, we don't want to shy away from that, right? Just send an email to the teacher, right? Sit down, right? And this also dovetails into some of the aspects of the advisory program, right? Is they don't necessarily have to do that with each teacher individually. They can go to their advisors and communicate with them, right? So it's really about building these skills in which they can be increasingly independent. Again, something that can't emphasize it enough is we don't expect them to enter being independent, right? The role of middle school generally and fifth grade specifically is to cultivate that, right? Sometimes they're going to have challenges. They may stumble, but that's a part of the learning process and really communicating with them about the fact that that's not a bad thing, that's actually a good thing. If you came in here and everything was a breeze, we'd all be wasting our time and you'd probably be wasting your money, right? But we're not here to do that. We're here to learn and grow and be challenged and trying to acclimate them to that experience and have them feel safe and comfortable in that while also being challenged in terms of their responsibility, the intellectual content, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is a really amazing opportunity. And again, this is something that we as a team are constantly discussing, recalibrating, you know, as we get to know your students and really figuring out how best can we cultivate these skills, whether it's planning, locker organization. Again, that dovetails into some of the regular work that we do as an advisory.
Um,
with all of the transitions that come, we have a lot of built-in logistical things to serve your students and, of course, their parents well. We provide jumpstart periods, which is kind of Trinity speak for a study hall, probably what you would think of it as. One of the pieces of the middle school program that I think is so, so helpful to the students and are, when I talk to the folks at Country Day or at Newman or at Franklin or at Sacred Heart about what they love about the Trinity students, they always say they know how to use extra help. So extra help is a feature that is available at many of the high schools, and I hope it's one that you'll ask about when you're looking at them. And it's when teachers are available for students to meet with students for clarification, reteaching, just going over something, I need help getting started on my homework. And our middle school teachers are available at these jumpstart periods that we have built in throughout the week, as well as every day after school on Fridays by appointment. And these folks are just sitting in their rooms, ready to work with kids. And we absolutely will come up to you and say, hey, Cece, stop by after help today. So we are very, very good about reaching out. But that is one of the pieces that, again, we're not expecting the students to know how to take advantage of at the very beginning, but by the time our Trinity eighth graders leave us, they really, really know when they need that extra help and how to take advantage of it. Another structural piece to the support that we offer to middle school students is a dedicated period in the afternoon. So your child is no longer eligible for kind of the days of cottage and aftercare with Ms. Jawanda. We offer our own program in the middle school called MASH. We just love our acronyms here. And Middle School Afternoon Study Hall. And each week, or each day of the week, there is a teacher who sets up shop in his or her classroom, and your child can stop by for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, all the way up to 5:30, and just work on his or her homework. And while it's not tutoring, every single teacher who does MASH is very, very proactive about saying, hey, come over here, it looks like you could use some help on that. So if your child really does better time and space-wise, getting things accomplished in the school environment, MASH is a really, really wonderful tool. And just start it early. It's so, so helpful. It can just become part of your routine, and it's really a piece that is incredibly valuable to our middle school students. Some phrases and terminology that you might hear throughout these orientation process and next year are these Trinity Middle School speak words that we have. Practice and preparation equals homework. We really try to de-emphasize, you know, this, what's the synonym for work? This work that you do at home is not being homework. We call it practicing and preparing. A learning check is another way that we identify to children that these are low stakes, kind of low muss, low fuss opportunities to just make sure that our instruction is on track and that your children are receiving the material in the way that it is intended to be received. And you might have grown up thinking of it as a quiz. A progress assessment is a little bit more of a further along. We're halfway through this unit. Let's make sure everything is on track for you to demonstrate mastery of these standards. And that would be a progress assessment, as we call it, kind of a bigger quiz. What you probably think of as a test is a final assessment. And we put those as FA, PA. And so in the beginning, you're just going to see a lot of initials, but it ultimately is all the things that you probably grew up with. We're just very deliberate and strategic with the language that we use. We also have, and it's way too much detail to explain right now, but you might hear, what is a reassessment? And that is a way that help students make sure that they have understood the material before they move on to the next unit. So I just wanted to put them on your radar. If you see them, we go into great detail with students and parents later on about what they need. And so I don't want you to feel that we have a whole new set of terms and that we're not going to make sure that your child is very confident in their understanding of them. One of the things that is a hallmark of the Trinity Middle School, although we're very clear that we don't want you to think that it's a separate thing, is the laptop. It's not its own program. It's part of the Trinity academic experience. And it's a vehicle for writing, research, reflection, organization. And these are all elements of our program. Your child and you will be asked to sign via My Trinity the Responsible Use Agreement, which is really just the tenets of internet safety, responsible usage, all the things that we do go into great detail in terms of making sure that students are confident about how to use these devices responsibly. We do have filter programs in the computers that are designed to keep the harmful elements of the web away from them. But you know, the research about filters is widely understood to be a poor tool for just good decision making, or a poor substitute for just good decision making. We really don't give them these computers until a month into the school year. You know, we want them to just focus on the transition. And then we spend a lot of time talking with the students about the care, about the use, about the responsible use piece. And one thing I actually did a few weeks ago in preparation for this was I followed around the fifth graders for a day, and I went into all their classes just to truly keep track of how many minutes they were on these devices for. So there are 475 minutes in a school day. Your child can expect to be on it for about 60. So please don't think that your child is going to be glued to a screen for the next 4 years. It is a really powerful tool. The children get amazing experiences in instruction, in design thinking. I can't imagine running it without it, but it is by no means the teacher. It is a tool for the teacher. So it was really, you know, to do that tally was very, you know, it was a wonderful experience for me to see how judiciously it is used, how carefully you'll find your students exposed to it next year. Part of the middle school is increased independence, and I'm a lower school parent, and I really, you know, have my own temptation to kind of pop in and check out how my kids are doing. And my daughter, who is in third grade, you know, I was saying to her, oh, I'm doing this transition talk. And she says, you know, Mom, when I'm in middle school, you really have to give me my privacy. And, you know, but a question that I'm sure is on your mind, what will my child be doing? And those are really, really healthy questions to have. You want to be part of your child's life. And all the research shows that school can be a really amazing way to connect with your child during those adolescent years, to kind of take the personal out of the relationship and just use, hey, you know, talk to you about the content you're learning. And so we have a really exciting parents night that is the first of the parents night that will be in August, and that date is given to you in that handout, and we'll publicize it widely and broadly, of course. But the day-to-day experience is really captured through a variety of different ways. And I say to people all the time, educational technology is amazing and it has grown so much in the last few years. But educational technology is very different than the technology that you and I use in almost every single aspect of our life. What the landscape is that one company will kind of come up with an amazing product. Like, you know, in the lower school, a lot of teachers use Seesaw really advantageously. And it's a wonderful product, but it doesn't connect with the database, for example. So there hasn't been yet, and maybe there will be, and this has been the case at every school I've ever worked at or visited at or talked with, that there's not a perfect product that facilitates that homeschool teacher connection while also giving students the responsibility for their work, which is ultimately the goal. So we do incorporate kind of the best of each different system to serve those needs. I do think that it is something that we can never do enough communication with you all about how to use those different pieces. And that is a major goal for us next year. And in fact, we have a dedicated day with you all in September of early next year just to go over these different pieces. But I want to explain that we have been very careful, very thoughtful, thinking about it from the lens of a teacher, of a student, of a parent. And there are these different pieces, and we recognize that. I promise you that it does come together by middle of fifth grade year. You'll feel fully confident in using all of them. I am also the type of learner that I really need someone to sit with me, and I love just sitting with parents and just working through it. So I am more than happy to do that this summer, this next fall, whatever you need, because that's really the type of learner I am. But we do have a variety of different facets. Google Classroom is what your child interacts with on a daily basis. And that's kind of the source of information. That's where they're going to find the teacher notes. That's where they're going to find the handout. That's where, you know, a test might be delivered. There is no parent view for Google Classroom. It is only a student account that they have. And so we can provide you with your child's Google ID, and that could be one way that you stay up to date on that. Most parents in the middle school I found primarily use the assessment calendar, which we share with you and also put on My Trinity. And that's where you can find kind of the big global view of, you know, does my child have a final assessment, a progress assessment, a learning check coming up? And those all exist on the assessment calendar. In the middle school, we transition how we use My Trinity. In the lower school, they will put the newsletters, for example, on that. In middle school, that's where we put our grades. And that you're not going to find a grade for every single homework assignment because we don't really grade those things. You will see all of your child's averages in their academic classes. And that's, we open up that view a few weeks into the school year. But primarily, the thing that we ask the student to take accountability for is the use of the planner. The research is so clear that the planner continues to be, you know, the number one way for your child to plan and use their time efficiently. And we also do have a robust reporting system that I'll explain a little bit more about on the next slide. As I said, grades are posted on My Trinity. You will also get a progress report at the midterm of every trimester that is a checklist about how your child is doing in terms of the behaviors that tend to lead to positive grades, like organization, participation, behavior, things like that. At the conclusion of each trimester, you're going to receive a trimester report card that identifies the curricular goals that were achieved, as well as your child's experience with them. And those are, you know, lovely, long narrative reports. The fall is, as Chris Shaw identified, is when we do student-led conferences. And that's also really one of my favorite Trinity traditions, too. And then, of course, we are available for conferences as needed. I want to turn it over to Mr. Green, the middle school dean. I am a former Latin teacher, Latin student. And one of the things that I just want to highlight about discipline is that the word really comes from discipulus, which is the Latin word for student. So I don't think that discipline, and Mr. Green and I, and all of us, are totally united in that, as about, you know, behavior. I really think of it about being a student. So I'll let Mr. Green.
Thank you so much. So as Ms. Bispano said, you've kind of heard throughout this whole meeting, character building is a big, important piece of being a student, right? Just like we want them to learn math and science, we want them to, you know, learn and develop and practice those Trinity ethos of being gentle, generous, truthful kind of work. Our philosophy in the middle school is that we understand that students are going to make mistakes. That's going to happen. It's their job. It would be very odd if they didn't make mistakes. They make mistakes, and so therefore it's our job to kind of help them learn from those mistakes and make adjustments moving forward. One of the ways that we do that, also with the students, but is with you all, and that's communication. So we try to communicate in many ways. So you may have a teacher send an email, give a phone call, things like that. But we like to keep you all informed so that we can partner working congruence together to make sure that we're all on the same page. When we're daily, we typically just do gentle redirections. We don't like to do the formal paperwork and things like that. We want to get to kids. We want to understand what's going on. We want them to understand maybe where they made mistakes and where they can improve. So most of the day, it's just anything that needs to be adjusted, we just kind of talk to them, right? Most of the things can be handled through that. If not, we might reach out and try to partner with you guys, like I said, to kind of figure out what we need to do. If it does continue and things like that happen, I get to talk about the good stuff, right? The easy slides. We do have conduct slips, right? Let me be clear. These are just little pieces of paper and ways for us to communicate. However, that does not mean these are not formal in the sense they're not going in a cumulative file. The high schools aren't going to see it. This isn't something that we're labeling them or judging them, right? This is just a way for us to say, look, we've tried some of those gentle redirections and reminders. They're not really working. So we want you to talk with your parents, talk with your advisor about these things. And what a conduct slip is, it's just, like I said, a communication. The student actually gets to fill out what happened, so it gives them an opportunity for reflection. They get that signed by their advisor, so then that gives their advisor the opportunity to kind of check in with them, like, hey, what's going on, what happened here, what can we do differently, all those types of things. Then they go home, get it signed by their parents, and then reinforce those concepts further, and then they end up ultimately handing that back to me, and then I check in with them too. So it's really a group effort, and as long as we're all on the same page, we typically can mitigate any of those types of behaviors. If it does continue and you get multiple ones, three in this case in a trimester, we do have what we call a tighten up time. This is a reflective period. It's probably what we would have called detention back in the day, but we like to make it a little more meaningful, right? So it's not like you're going to miss recess and write the dictionary. That's not going to get us. I went to Catholic school in the 80s, so like I know I'm not, right? But that's not productive. So what we do is we try to have them give back. So when you're disruptive or disrespectful, it's kind of like taking something from the community. So we want them to give back to the community. This reinforces our values and things. So they may come work in the library, they may read to lower school students, they may wipe down some tables, they talk to me, we kind of just hang out. I talk to them very, almost big brotherish in a way, kind of, hey, what happened? Give them some tools and strategies and things like that so they can make adjustments moving forward. And just to be clear, the tighten up is not something that happens often. We do it on Fridays. I think I did 3 or 4 of them this year. So typically, the conduct slips and the daily kind of reminders and interactions really kind of mitigate those behaviors and get them moving in the positive direction. We do have amnesty after every trimester, so this isn't something that carries with them. We're not trying to, like I said, judge or label kids. We just want them to kind of move on and do the right thing. And not a major part of fifth grade, but it is something that, we always like to inform the parents about. Social and spiritual, although I also handle discipline, I also just kind of deal with all aspects of student life. So I'll meet with your children at the beginning of next year. We'll do a 2-day orientation in the middle school. I'll work with them on that. I work with 8th graders on preparing for high school interviews and talks and just all those different types of things. Also, it's woven into the fabric of our curriculum every day. They'll continue to have daily chapel and religion class as they do in lower school, but we also bring in some other components. Ms. Feiner does a skills for living class, which is kind of like a life skills class. We have lots of leadership opportunities. We feel like kind of, strengthening those community bonds and giving students a chance to do that is important. We have student council. They can run for representatives as early as 5th grade. They can run for offices like vice president, secretary, and things like that as they get into the higher levels. We also started something new this year called House Time, where it's kind of like a mixer where the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th will all meet in different groups together. So it kind of, again, kind of forms that community and kind of brings everybody together and they get to know each other better. And then the last thing, dress code. I just get all the best slides. So dress code, relatively the same. Trinity t-shirt or polo, shorts, pants, skirts, things like that. We do like the white and the black and the navy socks. And all of this is in the handout, our handbook. You don't have to remember all of this. And then just, making sure that anything that's an accessory that we just try to keep the school appropriate. We just don't want things distracting. I had somebody come in with earrings that had little whistles on them. So one of the things that, so please, if you could just help your child as they get ready each day, just things that are not distracting. Thank you so much.
This is my style as a teacher. I always overplan, so of course we're running a little bit late, but I do want to identify just a few other elements of the middle school experience. Service learning, again, I'm a big research person, and the research is so clear that as middle schoolers really enter that time of egocentrism, it is really important for them to step out of themselves and participate meaningfully in the life of their community, their city, the world. And so our service opportunities are really abundant, and they're interwoven throughout the day, as well as special experiences as well that are just a part of the middle school privileges. Class trips are also a highlight of the middle school experience. Fifth grade is integrated with science, and so we go to the Marine Education Center in Gulf Springs, and that is just a one-night trip. And the kids, go to Deer Island, they do shark dissection. They also play volleyball and go bowling and play in the arcade too. We really, really want the trips to be
school on the road as well. It's just good fun. Sixth grade goes to Atlanta in as a fortification of their humanities curriculum. Seventh grade participates in a model congress in Baton Rouge, and eighth grade goes to Cataleya, which those who are alums will think of as Wolf Creek to Canoga, but Cataleya is where we are now. That we've been just so blessed to have that partnership, and that is a week-long hiking trip in the woods, which I actually did a hike this morning because I'm like, I got to get back in shape. So that those are really important parts. Extracurricular, as we open up your child's academic experience, we're also opening up their participation in other parts of themselves as humans. And so these are all ways in which we allow the students to participate in life of the middle school outside the classroom. Participation in summer opportunities is also something that kind of comes a little bit later on, but we have been really so blessed to bring back our international travel trips that took a pause during COVID, and this year we sent a trip to France and Spain during the Easter break, and then we have also have a trip going to Italy in June. And so these are additional parts of the experience, but they've been wildly popular and really great ways for the kids to grow as members of not only the school, but also the world. This is one of the most important parts. And again, we are people who really understand and deeply care about the adolescent period of the lifespan. Mrs. Fleiner is here, and she prepared a really wonderful handout. I think we agreed that we're just going to ask you to read it and incorporate a developmental talk into some of the fall work that we do with you all. But again, we love teens and preteens. I can't believe that I ended up in middle school. I really thought I'd be like high school or lower school. And somehow I found my way here. And part of it has to do with who I've taught with. And these are all people who really appreciate the unique opportunities and challenges that middle school provides, and really enjoy it. So while it is a new time, I think parenting an adolescent is different than parenting a younger child. It is a really powerful time of growth for your children, and I know that you'll be so impressed with the new parts of themselves that they show as they become middle schoolers. Our outcomes are most importantly to us the children's experience while they're in school. But the Trinity name in New Orleans really means something. I'm new to the city, but when I have identified that I'm the new middle school head, I could be having lunch at Arno's every week with the number of people who want to get to know me in that regard. The Trinity name really means something within New Orleans, as well as the really prestigious boarding schools that exist regionally and further afield. And part of that has to do with the academic training that we provide with our students, but ultimately really has to do with our ability to train students to be upstanders and to be people who are going to be leaders, whether they are in a main position or not. And so we are so proud of our outcomes, but we are really proud of the partnerships that we enjoy with the parents to help the kids get there, because we really so much value the great support that we get from you all. Next steps will be that you'll get an email from me next week with a PDF of this handout, a Google form for language choice, as well as some just background slides. One thing I would like to say about language choice is that if you have any questions and would benefit from some assistance in determining what would be the right choice for your child, please reach out to me. Mrs. Zimmerman, Ms. Lehrer, we are absolutely here to answer any questions whatsoever, and really like working with families to make the choice that best suits them. One thing I want to say is that we do a lot of planning in terms of our schedule and in terms of our ordering over the summer. So while we can kind of accept a change up until July 15th, after July 15th, we really do ask that you consider that decision final. So we will send out this handout. We very much appreciate completion of the form in May. If you need a little bit more time, we can give that to you. But like I said, after July 15th, we really do ask for a final decision. And unfortunately, we just can't entertain changes throughout the middle school career because they get so far in their accumulation of knowledge that to switch to a new language would be a real challenge. So just to be upfront about that time frame, we will also be working with the fourth grade team to pass out the summer work. That is really you know, very much designed to help the students enter the fifth grade year in good stead, but also very much designed to allow them to have wonderful summers full of rest and relaxation and play and swim and reading and all the good things that we want children to do. We will be having a meet and greet just for our fifth graders, and these dates, you do not need to commit them to your calendar right now. We'll widely share them and publicize them. But as I said, this is very much the beginning of the transition process, by no means the conclusion of it. I am available for all of June in person and kind of July a little more remotely to meet with anyone who has any questions. You know, I have taken those, you know, rising middle schoolers on tours at the middle school building. I can love all of that. So I am here for you, whatever questions that you might have. And so, as I said, you know, you'll see that there is a lot of opportunity for you to have time and space to connect with me and the teachers going forward. I'm just pleased to kick this off. I know that I have kept you longer than anticipated. I will stay for a few minutes and answer any questions, but please, I've taken up so much of your time and I'm really grateful of that. So please do not feel at all concerned about leaving now. I'm sure many of you have things that you need to accomplish. So thank you so much for coming. I am really grateful.